KCW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, Israel on Edge. I'm Michelle Franzen. Reports of a shooting incident taking place in Tel Aviv. According to an Israeli police spokesperson, there are multiple casualties and the initial suspicion of motive is terror. It comes as a senior administration official tells ABC's Martha Raddatz Iran is expected to launch 240 to 250 missiles in two waves at four targets in Israel, Mossad headquarters and three air bases. Israel is not expected to launch a preemptive strike. Those missiles could take less than 15 minutes to reach targets once launched. ABC's Marcus Moore is in the region and says the White House issued a statement earlier.
We are actively supporting defensive preparations to defend Israel against the attack, and that a direct military attack from Iran against Israel will carry severe consequences for Iran.
In central Israel, residents are being advised by Israeli officials to stay close to safe rooms. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump campaigns in Wisconsin today. He speaks in Wanakee this afternoon and Milwaukee tonight. Republicans have been urging Trump to spend some time in Wisconsin's bluest counties. Democrat Kamala Harris stumps in the Fox Valley on Thursday. The people who declare the winners on election night say they plan to be fast, accurate, and transparent. Anna Johnson is Washington Bureau Chief for the Associated Press. She says her organization is in the business of declaring winners, not projecting them.
The only way we declare races, so whether it's a presidential race or it's, you know, state legislative races, is when we are absolutely certain that there is no way that the trailing candidate can overtake the leading candidate.
Johnson speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Candidate for U.S. Senator of Wisconsin, Eric Hovde, made stops in Northeast Wisconsin Monday, including a Title IX roundtable discussion in Oshkosh. Hovde said allowing biological males to compete with girls is not fair to female athletes.
A boy is a boy, a girl is a girl. They're different. They need their private spaces.
Hovde is a Republican running against Democrat incumbent U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. 39-year-old Jesse Vang, the last person to see Elijah Vu alive, is getting another status conference in court. The new status date for Vang is set for November 6th. Vang's still facing chronic child neglect charges for incidents that happened before Elijah Vu was reported missing back in February. Vu's remains were found earlier this month on a hunter's property 3 miles northwest of where Vang reported the toddler missing. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
It's time for the MLB postseason. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers will play the Mets today to open up the best of three wildcard round. Milwaukee enters as the NL Central champion and third seed in the NL. Manager Pat Murphy said the Brewers are young but ready for the postseason.
You know, we can't worry too much about who we're going to play. The bottom line is we got to play, you know, and be ready ourselves.
First pitch is after 4:30 p.m. The Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the L.A. Rams on Sunday. Coach Matt LaFleur said Sunday that the Packers had a lot to clean up after the 31-29 loss to the Minnesota Vikings in Week 4.
I think they're you got to be focused in terms of and very intentional about what you're trying to get accomplished.
Kickoff this week against the Rams is after 3 p.m. on Sunday. And Wisconsin football will play in back-to-back 11 a.m. games the next 2 weeks. They host Purdue this Saturday and play at Rutgers next week. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Significantly cooler today and crisp, with high temperatures only scraping the mid-60s. Still have some breezy winds with a few clouds filtering in here tonight, lows fall to the mid-40s. And there'll be plenty of sunshine tomorrow and a touch warmer. Highs should reach 70. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by Amanda Merkway, the advocacy director of the ACLU Wisconsin. We'll discuss the election fraud being engaged by MAGA Republicans and what you can do about
it. The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh here at the Civic Media Radio Network World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin. It is 6 now past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, October 1st, 2024, along with Aaron Zommers on the board. A big program for you today. We come on the air with a special report to start off the broadcast. If you have not heard, Iran has launched a missile attack on Israel at this hour, still very early in this process. We had known this was coming as several outlets were reporting this, that through intelligence and other sources, Iran had let it be known this was coming. Israel was preparing for it. And of course, the United States, an ally of Israel, several military units are already in the region, particularly those of naval reserves on the sea. And we're going to go to a couple of sources. We're going to be joined here very shortly by our friend and ongoing contributor, Matt Flynn, who is, of course, an attorney and former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, knows the history of this region very well. It's going to help us put this into context. But first of all, I want to go to CBS News Radio special report already underway. Going to take a couple of minutes of this, the coverage of Iran launching missile attacks on Israel.
The area very close to the Lebanese border. Our Middle East correspondent, Lucy Williamson, is there. Lucy, what have you seen and heard?
Well, just a few minutes ago, we heard a series of loud, what sounded like loud interceptions overhead. And that came after sirens sounded up here, right up here in the north by the border with Lebanon, as well as across the country. Just a few minutes ago, the Israeli army put out a message saying Iran's attack is continuing. That hasn't yet been updated. And as you heard John say there, we're being told that perhaps more than 100 missiles have been fired from Iran, perhaps as many as 140. Of course, Israel's army is massed at this border. It's less than 24 hours or about 24 hours since those ground troops were sent in to Lebanon, presumably the trigger for this reaction by Iran.
Lucy, thank you. Even as you're speaking there, I'm just reading that the Iran's Revolutionary Guards Corps say that those missile launches are in retaliation for the killing of Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, but also Ismail Haniyeh, who was killed in Tehran, of course, a couple of months ago, the political leader of Hamas as well. Lucy, is this something that Israel were expecting, were bracing for?
Yeah, we've heard both the army spokesman today talk about this threat, but also Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, saying the country needs to stand firm. The country is fighting Iran's axis of evil, and he's all along he's linked the Hezbollah, the Israel's fight with Hezbollah across this border to the wider battle.
You're watching live coverage from our partners at the BBC while we await a CBS News special report. Once again, Iran firing missiles at Israel. And you could see there in that video the Iron Dome doing its level best to try to keep those 100 to 140 missiles from landing. Right now, we know a lot of you seeing those images, the fire there in the sky. You're wanting to know what happened. Was there any damage to the ground? Any casualties? And right now, we just do not know what the situation is here. So what you're seeing now is a live picture there. That is a much more sedate image than what we saw, but we understand that Israeli media is reporting many outlets over there to the people who are no doubt in bomb shelters and elsewhere and will stay there for the coming hours, that the attack continues. Meanwhile, you saw those reporters on the other side in Lebanon and elsewhere saying that they are hearing strikes as well. We can presume those strikes are coming from Israel over the line into Lebanon. Iran, just moments ago, quoted on the BBC News as saying these strikes fired from Iran into Israel is in direct retaliation for the killing of that top Hezbollah leader. So we continue to watch this story evolve from here. We've had a chance to talk to many people there on the ground, people who have families who were told hours ago to just be prepared. That U.S. intelligence seemed to signal to the people of Israel, our ally Israel, that definitely people needed to be aware and ready. And speaking of that, let's listen in to CBS News special report.
You're listening to CBS News special report on CBS News Radio here on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 11 past the hour of 12 noon. We're going to dip into this and just get the first sense of this. Also going to be covering the other major story in Wisconsin today. Former President Donald Trump coming to Dane County, the first time a Republican nominee has come to Dane County since 1996 when former U.S. Senator and then presidential nominee Bob Dole came to Madison in 1996. So Catherine Lake, the station manager for WMDX here in Madison, is standing by at the location in Wanakee. We're going to talk live to her in just a minute as well. Right now, we're standing by for a CBS News special report via CBS Radio across the Civic Media Radio Network here in Wisconsin. Again, to recap what we know at this hour, Iran has launched a missile attack on Israel. The air defense system, the Iron Dome, as it's called in Israel, is attempting to shoot down many of these missile attacks by Iran. It is still early. We still do not know confirmed reports of casualties or exact damage done via video that we can see here on multiple sources from video from Israel. There certainly appears, keyword appears, to be explosions going off both in the air and on the ground. So we're awaiting a word. Mr. Zomers, we're still awaiting a word from CBS. Is that correct? We're still trying to get that.
It seems they're having technical issues. They've now gone into commercials when they were supposed to be doing a special report.
Sure. Well, that live radio, live television, these things happen, of course, in these times. So we're going to continue to monitor this and bring you any important breaking news. Of course, we'll have updates from CBS News Radio and ABC News Radio, depending upon which station you're listening to in the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin. We'll give you those updates at the top and the bottom of each hour. And in the meantime, we will continue to monitor this as well as Aaron Zomers, our great producer. And if there is new reporting, if there are important updates to bring you before the bottom and top of the hour, we'll bring you those as well. So again, just to recap, at this hour, Iran has launched a missile attack on Israel. Sirens are going off across and around Israel, according to their defense department there on the ground. Military says no aerial threat has been identified specifically, but again, we've seen bombs going off across the sky and on the ground. Now let's go to that CBS News special report.
It wasn't only here in Tel Aviv, but also to the east of us and down south in the Negev.
As we heard from our contributor in Jerusalem, Robert Berger, he heard sirens there as well. U.S. intelligence was warning that this Iranian attack on Israel was imminent this morning. President Biden meeting with his security team to discuss a response. But from what you can tell, how much damage has there been?
It's very hard to tell. We shouldn't even really be outside right now. We should be in shelter, as should every Israeli. There's almost no traffic. We saw a lot of missiles being blown up by the interceptors. We didn't hear any bangs or crashes as if buildings had been hit, although, as I said, there was news that one has been hit. Sometimes you can see flaming shrapnel coming out of the sky, and that can do damage. At the moment, there is no sort of survey of what's happened. And we did get a warning a short while ago that there was going to be another battery of Iranian ballistic missiles. So we're sort of braced for that. You get about 2, 3, 5 minutes warning. Everybody then should really head for the shelters. And then, of course, we see the fireworks over our heads.
And of course, Liz, we want you and your team to stay safe. We appreciate you bringing us this real-time report. The IDF, that's the Israel Defense Forces, have said that the aerial defense array is identifying and intercepting launches. It appears at this moment that this attack from Iran has ended, but U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin just yesterday reiterated that the U.S. supports Israel's right to defend itself. He went on to say that there needs to be a diplomatic resolution when speaking with Israel's, what it describes as a limited ground incursion in Lebanon against Hezbollah. How much does all of this force the U.S. to help Israel defend itself?
Well, there are more U.S. military assets coming to the region. The Biden administration has made it very clear that it is going to support Israel. Israel, of course, has launched in the last few days another front in its war, attacking Hezbollah, and today, even today, going in limited ground incursions. We've had bombing all day and all night in Gaza. And the U.S. so far hasn't shown any sign of withdrawing support, either rhetorically or crucially in terms of military sales.
We know that from within Israel, they have warned severe consequences for Iran in the event that this ballistic missile attack would take place. But it is happening at a time of increased insecurity in the region. How might we expect Israel to respond to this?
It's such a difficult time to make those kind of predictions. As I said, there are two hot fronts in this war already. It's the eve of the Jewish New Year, the high holiday, so this should be a massive holiday and time for reflection tomorrow and the next day. And we're coming up on the anniversary of the October 7th attack. So passions are running very high. And on top of it, just a couple of hours ago, two terrorist gunmen got off the train about a mile from where I'm standing and began spraying the railway station in Jaffa, just down the coast, with gunfire. Eight people are dead in that attack, as well as the two terrorists. So the nation is feeling insecure, vulnerable, very much conflicted, and I think that probably the reaction, the strategy and the tactics to respond are being formulated right now.
It's interesting you mention the gunman attack. I had not heard that, but it is happening, as you say, at a time where we're approaching the one-year anniversary of the October 7th attack, where Hamas militants, killed and kidnapped Israeli citizens. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been under increasing pressure all year to do something to get hostages released and to reach some kind of peaceful resolution, some type of...
And you've been listening to our coverage here of a CBS News special report via the Civic Media Radio Network. Elizabeth Palmer there via CBS News in Tel Aviv. We're going to continue to monitor this, bring you CBS and ABC News radio special reports at the top and the bottom of the hour, and we'll break in when new news happens here during the show. Come on back. We'll continue with Catherine Lake on site here in Dane County as Donald Trump visits Wisconsin. You've been listening to a Civic Media News special report.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Eyezervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Eyezervay gets GA going slower.
Eyezervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Eyezervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Eyezervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Eyezervay today.
Eyezervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Eyezervay.com. That's Eyezervay.com.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 21 past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, October 1st, 2024. Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. As per usual, a busy news day. We'll continue to follow this breaking news via CBS News Radio and ABC News Radio, again at the top and bottom of the hour, with Iran launching missile strikes against Israel. If there's major new news, we'll break in between that top and bottom of the hour, but we will continue to monitor that as we go. Again, a busy, busy day. We have Luke Mathers come in just after the bottom of the hour with Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Talk about some serious news. Also talk about the fact that the Milwaukee Brewers are kicking off their first playoff game this afternoon around 4:35 on many of our Civic Media radio stations. Talk more with Luke about that. Our friends at Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers movie, have added theaters. But right now we're going to turn to the other big story in Wisconsin today, and that is former President Donald Trump is making his way to Dane County, not Madison proper, but just north of Madison in Wanakee, Wisconsin, going to be at a manufacturing plant. Civic Media is going to cover that live right around 1:30. I'll be joined by Civic Media News Director Terry Bell at that time. But right now, our great general manager of our station here in Madison, WMDX, Catherine Lake, is on the ground in Wanakee. Catherine, thanks for taking time to join us. And what are you seeing so far this morning out at Wanakee, or this afternoon, pardon me?
You bet, Tom. Good to talk with you. I'm at Dane Manufacturing in Wanakee, South Division Street, the one and only Wanakee, of course.
Yes.
It's a metal fabrication contract manufacturing location. Over 100 years in business, Dane Manufacturing has been here. They've got a 500,000 square foot warehouse, 500,000 squares of metal fabrication. And Wanakee, a little more affluent area of Greater Madison, I might say. He might have a few more supporters here than the rest of Dane County. That may be why he chose Wanakee. We're really interested to hear what he has to say here. Will he bring out the call for the purge again? Will he mention that the polls are still fairly tight right now? I know his strategy people are probably saying you've got to keep going to this battleground state of Wisconsin, and you might want to stick to the south and southeast side of the state. Maybe go back to Prairie du Chien again, where he tried to get that illegal immigrant accused of murder story on the front page, but I'm eager to see what he has to say. We've gone to the prayer, the opening pledge, to the flag and the national anthem, and now there's a gentleman, I believe he said his name was Grant Winstead. He's representing the agricultural area, I think, and I'm interested to hear what he has to say. I expect Donald Trump, who is on his way, probably will be on time. I think we're expected to see him at 1:30.
And Catherine, you had a chance, if you could set this up. I think Mr. Zomers has it ready to go. Set up this brief interview that you had this morning, please.
Oh, I just grabbed a gentleman in line and asked him why he was coming to see Donald Trump speak, and I thought he was real articulate.
Tell me why you're here to see Donald Trump.
I believe in his politics. I really do. And I hope that there's so many stories you don't know what to believe, and that's, you know, what's really, you know, got a lot of Americans confused. But I believe in his politics, and I hope he's getting to be elected.
Thank you so much. What's your first name?
Randy.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you.
Catherine Lake there talking to Randy at this event. Go ahead, Catherine.
Yes, a small crowd, small but enthusiastic, very respectful, and I think they're all in and ready to receive Donald Trump when he arrives.
It's going to be interesting to hear this. I think it's important to set this up. This network trying to adhere and I guess, for lack of a better term, give some equal time. Vice President Harris was in Madison a week ago Friday and spoke for around 28 minutes. I believe that's our intent today, to give Trump about the same amount of time. His speeches, of course, have been known to go into the 90-minute mark. We do not intend to give, you know, that much airtime. But what I'm going to be interested in, Catherine, is you set this up so well. He went into Prairie du Chien, southwest Wisconsin, where an area that I grew up in, And talked about this. I'm going to use the term hateful speech of divisiveness, of really, in my opinion, trying to do to Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, what he and Vance have done to Springfield with these false, untrue accusations of immigrants. I've spent a lot of time in my former life working in Republican politics in Wanakee. There are great people there. I'll call it more of a progressive conservative town. Yes, they're business people, but Wanakee is one of the fastest growing suburbs of Dane County. Yes, it's a little bit more affluent, but the diversity is on the rise there. And I just don't know how Donald Trump expands his base if he continues with this exclusionary rhetoric.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It'll be very interesting to see how large the crowd gets inside and out. And I'll try and get a little more thought from people maybe on the outside who couldn't get into the event. It'll be really interesting to see how Wanakee in particular reacts to Donald Trump's presence here.
Catherine, just give us a little bit more flavor here. You've been to a lot of these things and you know these types of events well. Give us a guesstimate of how much this venue might hold inside and how many people are still outside that can't get in, because forgive me, but I don't always trust these folks when they give their side of the numbers.
Oh, sure. Well, there is certainly not more than 1,000 people indoors here. They have put us off in the corner of this enormous, like I said, 500,000-square-foot warehouse. We are in a very tight little corner. Mm-hmm. They kept it intimate, probably on purpose. Mm-hmm. I don't expect it's going to be anything like the last rally I went to was Kamala Harris with 11,500, I think, or 10,500.
Yeah, 10,500 to be 11,000. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, we couldn't fit anywhere near those kinds of numbers in this location. And again, I'm certain they did it on purpose. They wanted to keep it intimate. And I'll be interested to see how he tends to speak to these folks.
Quickly, about 45 seconds left here. How many folks do you think are outside the building just saying they want to get in?
That's what I've got to go find out. It certainly was not tons more than 1,000 people outside making their way in. But I'll make my way outside before Donald Trump arrives, and I'll get you a better estimate on that.
Catherine Lake, station manager here at WMDX in Madison, doing a great job as always. We appreciate you bringing us the facts, being there on the ground. Catherine, we'll talk to you a little bit later.
You bet.
Catherine Lake there on the ground. Busy, busy news day, Mr. Zomers. Indeed.
We sure live in interesting times.
We certainly do. And you know who makes it more interesting? Our friend Luke Mathers. And he is going to be in here and talk a little tangents. There's so much to tangent about, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about what Trump said over the weekend again about, you know, this violence, calls for violence in America. And then we're going to lighten it up, talk about the Brewers, and just a bit outside is coming to more theaters near you. That's the good news. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show right here on the Civic Media. Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Labor disputes are putting U.S. exports in a jam. This is after failed negotiations that led to a strike at major East Coast and Gulf ports. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you on a Tuesday. John Heinberg is a commodity broker with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He walks us through potential outcomes of this labor strike.
Again, some of those things are hard to gauge. Also, how long does it last? Those are all things in there. But anything that can restrict, movement of products, increases price, causes, supply concerns. We'll have to watch. Now, again, it's one of those ones where if President Biden wants to step in like he did with the rail strike, he could and just order them to go back to work because of economic concerns here for the country because of that lack of product movement. So it's definitely going to be a watch and see. I'm not sure if that's what we're seeing on the markets a little bit for the overnight. To me, I think that's just a little bit more tied to the grain stocks and the numbers that we saw there yesterday.
John Heinberg is a commodity broker with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Stick around. We'll take a look at what our midday commodity prices are doing next.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans have farmers yielding out an additional 2.7 bushels per acre over A-Series. This has everyone talking, not just farmers. Case in point, a trucking company wrote, "Morning, noon, and night, it doesn't matter. I'm hauling Z-Series. The phone doesn't stop ringing. Even my home number, it never stops ringing." Well, it's fair to say Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are making quite an impact. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/newera.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story Contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Tuesday from Chicago, December corn is trading up 2 cents at 4.26¾. November soybeans are trading down a penny and a quarter at 10.55¾. Cash wheat is up 10 cents at 5.94 a bushel. July 2025 new crop wheat is trading up 10 and a quarter cents at 6.31¼. Our Class 3 milk contracts are mixed midday on a Tuesday. The October Class 3 milk contract is down 9 cents at 23.22 a hundredweight. The November Class 3 milk price is up 4 cents at $22.92 a hundredweight. The Midwest Farm Report team is broadcasting from the World Dairy Expo happening now through Friday at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. You can find updates on the show at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, make sure to sign up for our e-newsletter and get farm news delivered to your inbox every morning. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Significantly cooler today and crisp, with high temperatures only scraping the mid-60s. Still have some breezy winds with a few clouds filtering in here tonight, lows fall to the mid-40s. And there'll be plenty of sunshine tomorrow and a touch warmer. Highs should reach 70. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now it's 62 degrees.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
Do you have a home you'd like to rent out but don't know where to start? Consider Simple Life Rentals, a property management company partnered with booking sites like Airbnb and Expedia, amplifying your home's exposure to the marketplace. Simple Life Rentals screens guests and creates an owner portal with analytics, rental agreements, and legal guidelines. We give you complete visibility into how your manager's doing, ensuring your property is well-maintained and maximizing your return on investment. Get peace of mind. Simple Life Rentals.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Wednesday's show, Selena Darrow joins us from Rooted in Inc. She's working to save heirloom seeds and plants in Northeast Wisconsin.
And we'll be moving with the Melcors, Ben and Deanna. Join us.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
To the Town Hall Ball Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, October 1st, 2024. If it's Tuesday, it's Tuesday Tangents with our friend Luke Mathers. Civic Media's, I'm going to forget about time. We're just going to start calling you Civic Media's Luke Mathers.
There you go. That works.
How about that? Welcome, Luke. Here's a little factoid to start off this segment. Here's a quote for you.
Okay.
A strong nation, like a strong person, can afford to be gentle, firm, thoughtful, and restrained. It can afford to extend a helping hand to others. It is a weak nation, like a weak person, that must behave with bluster and boasting and rashness and other signs of insecurity. Unquote.
We don't have many statesmen like that.
Do you know who said that?
I got a peek at who you were reading. So
October 1st, 2024 happens to be the birthday of former President James Earl Carter. Jimmy Carter turns 100 today, Luke. How about that?
That is just an impressive feat.
Right?
He's going to get a letter from the president for turning 100.
Yeah,
everybody that turns 100, right. He's going to get a letter from President Joe Biden congratulating him for hitting that milestone. And I think it's a marvel that he has done as much as he's done as well following his presidency. The approach that he has had with Habitat for Humanity and just being a humanitarian since leaving the White House has been very impressive, and it sounds like he's doing everything he can still at age 100, and it is just an instance to be lauded. I think just held up for the work that he's done since being president.
And he's been in hospice care for a few months now after his wife Rosalind passed away. I think over a year ago. And I saw a great...
Was that over a year ago?
I believe it was. Don't quote me on that.
Circles where it's just...
It's certainly been several months ago, if not about a year ago. But he's been in hospice care. And I was just watching on CBS Morning yesterday, David Begno, great reporter for CBS, did a whole series about a woman, I believe in her 90s, who's in hospice and talking about it was really when she heard Jimmy Carter was open about going into hospice care, that it's not an immediate death sentence. It just means you're entering kind of the final chapter of your life. And
you just
and the
need
great,
more assistance.
Right.
And
the great work that hospice folks all over the country and, of course, all over the state of Wisconsin are doing. But to your point, even in the final stages of his life, Jimmy Carter is setting an example and helping others.
Yeah. And surprisingly, I did a lot of international studies in school, and the work that he has done since leaving the White House, he's a well-regarded president for around the world for the work that he's been doing, the humanitarian causes that he's been working on. And so happy birthday to him.
Happy birthday, it's President Carter. And he's said that he's sticking around just so he could vote for Vice President Harris this month. So he's one vote for Georgia down there.
Yeah, that is an impressive feat.
It certainly is. Let's contrast that for a second, those words from former President Carter to the words from former President Donald Trump. And we talked about this over the weekend, but Luke, I want your take. And again, we're going to play this, the 1 minute, 3 second, I believe, clip, Zomers. This is in its entirety. I want to make sure we give it the proper context. The former president was talking over the weekend. I believe this cut is from Pennsylvania, Zomers. He was also in Pershing, Wisconsin. But to be accurate, this particular cut was in Pennsylvania. He was talking about shoplifting and petty theft crime that goes over the $950 mark. I guess in some states, if you keep it under that, you're not prosecuted, allegedly. A lawyer can fact check me. But that's the context he was talking about and how to hold down crime. And this is what former President Trump said over the weekend.
Doubt that the 950 is a misnomer because you can steal whatever you want. You can go way above. But you'd see originally you saw kids walk in with calculators. They were calculating. They didn't want to go over the $950. They're standing with calculators, adding it up. You know, these are smart people. They're not so stupid, but they have to be taught. Now, if you had one really violent day, like a guy like Mike Kelly, put him in charge, Congressman Kelly, put him in charge for one day. Mike, would you say, he's right here, he's a great congressman. Would you say, Mike, that if you were in charge, you would say, oh, please, don't touch them. Don't touch them. Let them rob your store. Let all these stores go out of business, right? They don't pay rent. The city doesn't have money. The whole, it's a chain of events. It's so bad. One rough hour, and I mean real rough, the word will get out, and it will end immediately. End immediately.
President Trump saying one day of violence, and later on, 1 hour, quote, and I mean a really rough hour, unquote. Luke, is that anything other than a call for a national day of violence?
No, I believe the aspect that the former president has taken in the last campaign, we saw it in 2016. We saw it to a larger degree in 2020. And we are now seeing it again unfold before us in this election cycle, where the former president subtly, it is one of those things where you do, there's nuance to this. Mm-hmm. There is, you have to read between the lines sometimes. The call to the Proud Boys in 2020 to stand back and stand by on a national debate stage was one of those calls for violence. There are some folks in covering the remarks that the former president has made this past weekend that want to say, oh, you're being hyperbolic by saying that he's calling for National Day of Violence, an hour of national violence. I think it is disgusting to hear the downplaying of those things, because it just makes me think, Todd, of the instance where the frog is in the boiling pot. Mm-hmm. And just the denial that the pot is boiling, that it's getting any warmer. Because it's you don't see the rolling boil until events like January 6th take place. Right. You can downplay all you want, the political rhetoric, the calls for violence. But then when it actually happens, like it did at the nation's capital on January 6th, 2021... It really begs the question of what were you doing downplaying all of that in the lead up to it. And so my worst fear is that we see more political violence like that. And I think calling out political violence wherever it is very, very important. And so it is disgusting to me that the line between a supposedly law and order candidate and somebody that's calling for political violence by mm-hmm. police authorities, saying it is the police that will rough these individuals up, that it will be the state, the mm-hmm. state-sponsored political violence, is pretty disgusting. It's a hard thing to see get churned through the 24/7 news and media cycles that we have, Todd.
I want to play something for former Governor Republican Arnold Schwarzenegger in a minute. But first of all, give people, we talked about this a little bit. I never heard of this. It's a series or a movie, The Purge. Talk to folk, because I know you're familiar with this. I wasn't. Tell people why that term, The Purge, is being associated with Trump's comments.
It's one of the, I believe there's like four or five movies now. It's one of those, it was an idea, a concept that got applied to multiple different, like it similar to Saw. Where you get those horror and
kind of those thrillers. Movies,
yeah, so. I'm not a huge, like, I know about them. I've seen a few of the Saw movies. I think I've seen the first Purge, but it was a long time ago. They did, like, Purge 2, The Reckoning, and Purge, I think, Election Day was a movie as well. Like, there's been cinematic adaptations of what the president is, or the former president is referring to here. And essentially it's like once a year you have this day where there's just no laws.
Right.
There's just, you could just do whatever you want. It's like I honestly, it was so long ago that I watched the first one that I'm not super familiar with the premise outside of that. For once a year, for a 24-hour period. And so you see these people that are very well off that then go reinforce their house so that they can get protected. And then, but you still see the violent criminals come through. And so it is a very large, I think, socioeconomic kind of critique of our country. But then you see people that romanticize that.
Right.
That are like, oh, it would be really good if we had that violence. And that's the scary part almost from those movies.
And forgive me, Luke, we're going to take 2.5 minutes of your time here. And because this is so timely, as Mike Lucas says, timely indeed. Former Republican governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, big actor, speaking of Hollywood and films. He also grew up in Austria. And his dad was part of the Nazi army. And he's gone back to Auschwitz and visited. And he's been an advocate for never forgetting. Mm-hmm. And he put this out, Luke, after January 6th. So what he's talking about here is January 6th. But it gives me goosebumps right now because he warned us about what was to come. Here is Arnold Schwarzenegger after January 6th.
Now, I grew up in Austria. I'm very aware of Kristallnacht, or the Night of Broken Glass. It was a night of rampage against the Jews carried out in 1938 by the Nazi equivalent of the Proud Boys. Wednesday was the day of broken glass right here in the United States. The broken glass was in the windows of the United States Capitol. But the mob did not just shatter the windows of the Capitol. They shattered the ideals we took for granted. They did not just break down the doors of the building that housed the American democracy. They trampled the very principles on which our country was founded.
And here he's comparing video of both events.
January 6th and this event in Nazi Germany.
But my father would come home drunk. Once or twice a week, and he would scream and hit us and scare my mother. I did not hold him totally responsible because our neighbor was doing the same thing to his family, and so was the next neighbor over. I heard it with my own ears and saw it with my own eyes. It all started with lies and lies and lies and intolerance. So being from Europe, I've seen firsthand how things can spin out of control. I know there is a fear in this country and all over the world that something like this could happen right here. Now, I do not believe it is, but I do believe that we must be aware of the dire consequences of selfishness and cynicism.
We're going to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I love Pennsylvania Avenue.
President Trump sought to overturn the results of an election, and of a fair election. He sought a coup by misleading people with lies. My father and our neighbors were misled also with lies, and I know where such lies lead. President Trump is a failed leader. He will go down in history as the worst president ever. The good thing is that he soon will be as irrelevant as an old tweet.
Former Republican governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Luke, I thought that put it in context pretty well.
Yeah, and that video put out more than 3.5 years ago now.
Right.
And it is one of those things where we have not seen, as the former governor alluded to there, of the former president becoming irrelevant. I think he is as relevant as ever. I think the stakes of this election are pretty clear. And the former president is here campaigning in Wisconsin today and for the second out of 4 days? He was here on Saturday. He's here today in Dane County and will be in Milwaukee later today. And it is important to be talking about the nuance of these comments because there's a lot of folks out there, and that's the difficult thing in media, Todd, is there's a lot of folks out there that are highlighting it or downplaying it for whatever they believe is the best fit for their audiences. And I think here at Civic Media, we're trying to give listeners the information and let them make decisions off of it, which is why we will be covering the former president's remarks in Wanakee later this afternoon. It is why we are covering the campaign events that both major nominees do, because it is ultimately up to Wisconsinites and the state of Wisconsin to decide. But it's pretty high stakes this election cycle.
Back with more, we'll lighten things up, talk a little Brew Crew, and also just a bit outside the movie, expanding to a theater near you. It's the All Balls Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
Get ready to rock the vote at the Oktoberfest Get Out the Vote Extravaganza Tour. Join the tour October 3rd at Green Bay Titletown Brewing Company. Music by Tom Castle and the Traveling Suitcases.
A sinner decked out in flowers and scarves and hats and bows.
Other partners include Progress North, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, Citizens Action of Wisconsin, and Our Wisconsin Revolution. The goal of the tour is to inspire and motivate attendees to volunteer for Get Out the Vote efforts and support organizations that need additional help to maximize their capacity and impact. Everybody come together.
Effigies carved in stone, cast in bronze.
Enjoy the great music and fuel the movement for change. You must register ahead of time at the ManaquaBrewingCompany.com site under the tab Get Tickets. Come be part of the action. Get Out the Vote Extravaganza is presented by Manaqua Brewing.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's now 51 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, or 9 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock at the top of the hour. Have a update on what's happening internationally. But right now, looking to lighten things up a little bit because it's time to roll out the barrel, particularly down to AmFam Field in Milwaukee, Luke. The Mets snuck their way into the playoffs last night, yesterday afternoon, and the Brewers faced the Mets once again after doing so last week. You can hear that action right across the Civic Media Radio Network on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, and WCQM in Park Falls. Luke, give us the times.
Yeah, we've got a broadcast start time this afternoon of 3:55. So just before the 4 o'clock hour, you're going to get to hear the Brewers Radio Network across those four Civic Media stations. And then tomorrow evening, game two of the series slated for 6 p.m. broadcast start time with some weird first pitch times for the playoffs. I don't quite understand it.
Yeah, Tom, I know. It's odd.
Whatever. I mean,
so this is help us understand, of course. So the Brewers ended up being the third seed, the three seed in the National League, which means they get, if needed, three. It's a 5-game series, best out of five, but they're all going to be in Milwaukee.
I believe it's just a 3-game.
Or three. Three-game series.
It's okay. Yeah. No, this is weird. The MLB playoffs have always been a little strange. Right. It used to be the wild card games would have like this one game play-in kind of thing. Yeah. I'm grateful that they've moved away from that, but it will be a 3-game series all in the city of Milwaukee. The Mets liked it so much. They were here over the weekend. they punched their ticket back to head back to the glorious city that is Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And so the Mets come into town for tonight and tomorrow night, guaranteed. Hopefully the crew can take care of business. But if needed, there will be a game three of the series on Wednesday. Thursday of this week. I'm thinking today's Monday, but I'm on the radio today is Tuesday.
No, I'm completely messed up with days. So, yeah, it's a Tuesday, Wednesday, if needed, Thursday series.
Correct.
And I think tomorrow is another goofy afternoon time, and then the final one is
6
like
p.m. Broadcast start tomorrow, yeah. And then with a 6:38, I believe, first right. pitch. Like, I'm telling you, it's a strange time. I believe ESPN and ABC kind of together
I think have
the
Brewers
all the
are on ESPN, and if needed, on Thursday, ESPN2. But if you live in one of our great cities, Richland Center, Oshkosh, yeah. Racine, Kenosha, and Park Falls, you can listen to it on Civic Media Station.
That's absolutely where you should listen.
Because you want Bob Uecker. I mean, Uecker's going to be on the call. He's not going to miss a playoff game.
I have a feeling he'll be involved in all of the calls throughout this playoff run for as often as he can be on the microphone.
Yeah, it's exciting. I'm really excited about this. I thought it was a classy move by manager Pat Murphy in the last regular season game on Sunday to take Willie Adames out in the seventh inning, and the crowd gave him a standing ovation in what could be his final regular season game in Milwaukee.
Don't you dare
say that. I don't want it to happen.
I know. But
I'm just afraid because, I mean, yes, I mean, Wisconsin teams have shown, look at what happened at Giannis. I mean, everybody thought he was going somewhere, and he re-signed.
Yeah.
But I think he had a unique relationship in that a lot of people passed on Giannis in the NBA, and Milwaukee was the one that took a chance, and so there's that connection. I don't know that Willie Adames, I think he's a great player. Everything I've heard, he's a great person. Yeah. I'm not sure he has that really personal connection to the Brewers.
Yeah, and I think that there was a lot of talk, I think, before this season started that this was probably guaranteed to be his last season, just the way he had been kind of downtrending in his performance. But this year, he kind of took, like the team, all of those expectations, threw them out the window, and Willie's been playing amazing baseball, so I really hope that he and the front office can agree to keep him in the Brewers jersey for another season, or if not a couple more.
I sure hope so as well. We hope it's a World Series run, just like Luke, in 1982. And if you weren't there, or you weren't alive, like I was, you can relive it with our friends Kelly Call and Sean Hannish with their great new film called Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. And Luke, last night, I got an email from Kelly and Sean. Exciting news.
The film is
back in theaters, exclusively in theaters for week 4 and being expanded. These are now all the cities for this coming week. You can see this movie: Brookfield, Burlington, Delafield, Eau Claire, Green Bay, Hartford, Janesville, Madison, Menominee Falls, Mequon, New Berlin, Oshkosh, Platteville, my old stomping grounds at UW-Platteville, Portage, Prairie du Sac, Wisconsin, Racine, Rhinelander, and Sheboygan. How about that? All this opens up this Friday on the 4th.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible for if you have not already had a chance to watch the movie, say you were out of the country for a couple of those weeks, like myself, you have another opportunity to go watch the film, which
you better do it.
I need to. I'm grateful that they're continuing it on for another week four run.
I didn't ask for much while I was out in California, but I said, guys, he was traveling. Luke didn't get a chance to see it. And the great guys that Kelly and Sean are, all right, we'll carry it over one more week.
That is too kind. One more week, and they expanded it. So they went above and beyond with that request.
Well, and I think that's, I mean, these guys know film and entertainment 1,000 times better than I ever will, but they're just blown away. And it was so cool talking to them last week. And they're just such humble Wisconsin guys. They're blown away by the response because they have spent zero money in promoting this film. It's all been word of mouth and shows like
ours. And the Todd Olba Show.
Well, we're one small part of it. There's other shows, but they're just really blown. And the reviews, they're the highest rated movie right now on Rotten Tomatoes.
Highest rated movie in theaters.
Yeah, in America.
That is incredible. And it's got to be so much fun for them as something that I believe is just a true passion project through and through. Yes. Just the idea to go do a documentary like this and see that overwhelming support. It's got to be amazing. So and just the response that I know you've received here on the show, it's incredible to see there and across the state of Wisconsin with the expanding theaters. It's great.
It's the feel-good movie of the fall. Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Milwaukee Brewers in theaters exclusively in Wisconsin this weekend. Go see it. Luke Mathers, always a pleasure, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Todd.
Tuesday Tangents with Lukester. We're back with Hour 2. Don't go anywhere. It's here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just a bit outside.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, former Republican congressman from Illinois, Joe Walsh, will join us. Should be an interesting conversation. He'll be here at 10:30. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live. Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.